It's time to head into the barn. This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn. In the barn. Talking horse racing news, events, and a whole lot more. Here's your host, Jason Beam.
All right, welcome into the Bet America Radio Network. And a very good Thursday morning to you all as we are back here in the barn, back in Seattle, and back at barn headquarters, home studio. So very pleased to be back home. And we have a big, big, crowded, jam-packed show this morning. Marty McGee from the Daily Racing Forum coming up in a little bit. We're going to talk with him about all the racing going on at Gulfstream Park, not just this upcoming weekend with the Don Handicap and Gulfstream Park Turf, but as well as last weekend, the big races for the three-year-olds and three-year-old fillies. Curious to get Marty's impression on those races and what he's heard from various trainers about those horses that were Catherine Sophie and Mohamed that were just so impressive last weekend. So Marty McGee coming up later. Got a new song parody we'll be debuting a little bit later about our friend Dortmund and whatever has been going on with him. He seems to work out. I don't like it very much. Let's pass this race. Workout? I wasn't happy. Let's pass this race. So hopefully we'll see him in the Santa Anita Handicap, but he's skipped his last two, which is a little bit concerning. And, in fact, it's so concerning that tomorrow we're going to be debuting a new segment called the Bet America Jury. And I will have five peers who will be ruling on whether or not Dortmund will ever win another Grade 1 again in his career. And that'll be coming up tomorrow in the barn. But coming up today again, Marty McGee a little bit later at Dortmund Song Perry. And we have a huge surprise guest who's supposed to be coming up in a few minutes. And if it all works out, I think it'll be a big coup for the Bet America Radio Network. I don't want to jinx it by saying who it is just yet. So we'll wait till we hear. If our producer says we can go with that, we'll go with it. But big weekend coming up, of course, the Don Handicap at Gulfstream Park. And then over at Santa Anita, we got the San Antonio, the Las Virgenes, the Bob Lewis, a huge card in Southern California this weekend. In fact, tomorrow's show, we're going to also preview that with Scott Shapper to Capper, who's a Southern California handicapper. And he's a horse racing guy, but he's also real into the daily fantasy stuff and writes about a lot of other stuff at his website. So we'll talk with him tomorrow and really go more in depth on the Santa Anita card. Louisiana Premier Night coming up this Saturday at Delta Downs. Those Louisiana State Bred days, it seems like there's always one or two races that are a complete gimme. You know, you kind of know who's going to win and who's not going to win. But there's also a lot of really good races on those nights too, and so that'll be a fun night over at Delta Downs. And one race that I'm really intrigued about is the California Oaks at Golden Gate Fields, $50,000 race. It came up pretty good. There's a horse that I've been following along because I have a personal connection. A horse named Code Warrior. Ann Sanguinetti, who's the jockey of this horse, is a friend of mine from her time. She rode at Portland Meadows quite a bit, and I got to be friends with Annie. And this is a horse that her parents bought. If you see JC Racing Stable, those are her parents. They bought the horse out of a sale. I think it was about about 15 or 20 grand. And so the horse goes out this summer, breaks the maiden by 7 at Golden Gate, you know, huge performance, comes back in the Golden Nugget Stakes against boys and wins by 2.5 against 2-year-old boys, and then beats the 2-year-old fillies in the Golden Gate debutante by 1.5 lengths. So they give her the month of December off, and she comes back as a 3-year-old, her first start in the Santa Ynez, a grade 2 at Santa Anita. And I remember talking to Annie before the race. They had gotten some big offers from, you know, pretty respectable barns after that win in the Golden Gate debutante. She was a filly that was 3-for-3 at that point, you know, and everybody wants, you know, the new hot 3-year-olds, be they fillies or boys. And so she told me the numbers, and they were big, but I mean, they weren't, you know, astronomical, but they were, you know, they paid the bills for a couple of years. And they decided they were just having too much fun with the horse, and they wanted to keep her. So they, you know, wanted to give her a real test of class, and so they sent her down to the Grade 2 Santa Ynez, 6.5 furlongs. She kind of had a little bit of a wide trip, but just kept battling and ended up finishing second, beating only 1/2 length. So she did suffer her first loss, but I think she learned a lot that day. I actually want to get Annie on the show next week, maybe after this race, and talk about this filly, because she's just kind of a cool horse. So she's going to try stretching out a mile and a 16th in the California Oaks here. And, you know, I got to assume if this goes well, they might give Southern California another try. Obviously, I asked Annie originally, I said, have you thought about the Lost Virginess? And she said, we're going to go ahead and avoid Songbird, if that's okay with everybody. So they kind of purposely went north for that. But I think this race actually came up pretty decent, because I think that you do get a number of horses who are trying to avoid Songbird. And so you can't blame them. Kiss and Scat for Jerry Hollendorfer on the outside is one who comes to mind, coming off a huge allowance optional claiming win. And so you got to think that that's part of the reason that that they don't want to do that is I don't think anybody really wants a piece of Songbird right now. So we got him? Okay, great. So we're going to head out to a short break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by a candidate for the presidency of the United States. Senator Bernie Sanders is going to be in the barn, and we're going to talk about what his campaign is going to do for horse racing. So we're going to head out to a short timeout. We come back. Senator Bernie Sanders joining us here on The Barn.
Hello, this is Kayla Strah, and I'm here to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It is the fastest growing legal, safe, and secure website to place all your bets on horse racing. BetAmerica covers over 200 racetracks from North America, the UK, and my home country, Australia. New players to BetAmerica receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the Bet America way.
All right, welcome back into the barn, and we are extremely pleased and honored to go out to the beautiful state of Vermont, where we're so happy to welcome in a candidate who is running for the presidency of the United States of America, Senator Bernie Sanders. Welcome, Senator.
Thank you for having me, Jason. It's a great honor to be on your little program here.
Senator, I think that, for the most part, candidates have ignored the horse players in the debates so far. So I'd love to ask you, what will you do to fix horse racing?
Well, Jason, as with every industry, the key to my campaign is promoting fairness and equality and getting rid of the 1%.
So how do you plan on doing that?
Well, it begins with narrowing the gap between the rich and the poor. So going forward, payouts from purses will be split evenly among all finishers in the race.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, if there's 10 horses in a race, every horse will get 10% of the purse.
So if a horse finishes first...
10%.
And if he finishes fifth...
10%.
And if he finishes last...
10%.
So what if there's only 6 horses in a race, let's say?
Then every horse will get 16.7%. It's the only way to equally distribute purse money so that we have equality. I mean, let's look at the 1%. Todd Pletcher, look at those silk suits and that coiffed haircut. He doesn't need all that money he's making. He should be shopping at Men's Warehouse like the rest of us.
Senator Bernie Sanders joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. Senator Sanders, you've said you're a democratic socialist, so this plan does seem to live up with your ideals.
Jason, I live in Vermont. I'm very close to Canada. From my porch, I can smell the sweet smell of socialism. And let me tell you, my friend, it smells like maple syrup and gravy on French fries.
Senator Sanders, one issue that's very important to horse players are drugs and drug testing. What can we do about that?
Well, there won't be any testing. We've seen the war on drugs has not worked and cost our country millions of dollars. So we will legalize everything, tax it, of course, and everything will be okay.
Senator, I must respectfully disagree. I mean, we can't have cheating like that.
Jason, my boy, if it's legal, it's not cheating.
That's a fair point, Senator. So what about takeout rate on wagers? Many horse players, including the members of HANA, think that the takeout rates are just too high in horse racing.
Takeout will be adjusted depending on how much you win. If you hit a couple of superfectas for $10,000, the takeout will probably be about 40% or so. If you hit a million-dollar pick six, that top takeout rate is 90% for those top 1% players. And if you're a $2 show bettor and your payoff is only $2.60, well, golly, we'll round it up to $3. That's called wealth distribution, my friend.
That's very interesting, Senator. I got to say, though, I don't think many of the horse players are going to think that's a great idea. What are your thoughts on post times overlapping with each other?
Jason, that is one hopeless issue. These tracks know they're running on top of each other. They see it on the screen. They still run on top of each other. That will never be fixed. It's kind of like health insurance. It's just going to always suck.
Senator, will your universal health care plans affect trainers, veterinarians, and medications in horse racing?
Jason, just like under the previous administration, Obamacare, if you like your veterinarian, you can keep your veterinarian. We will pay all vet cost bills from the money from the takeout increases I mentioned earlier. The horse players will not mind, I promise.
One issue that a lot of our listeners are concerned about is gender purse inequality at the tracks. The Kentucky Derby's worth $2 million, yet the Kentucky Oaks is only worth $1 million. They're doing the same job, but the boys are making twice the money as the ladies.
This is unacceptable. As I said earlier, equality. Every race in America will have the same purse. I don't care if it's the Kentucky Derby or a $2,500 claim off at your Portland Meadows. $5,000 each race, no exceptions. Feel the burn.
Senator Bernie Sanders joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. One issue that's going to be big in this election is unemployment. This one hits close to home for me because I was out of work as an announcer for almost a year. What can we do to make sure that never happens again?
Jason, the fact that you weren't hired somewhere is a disgrace.
Well, I wouldn't call it a disgrace.
No. You're very good.
Well, I like to think so. Thank you, Senator.
But I think this bond thing is better for you than announcing anyways. I mean, who needs the stress of a 4 or 5 hour workday 3 days a week like you have when you're announcing?
Hey, you make a fair point, Senator. Finally, Senator, I know climate change is a big issue for you, and it will affect horse racing if we don't do something about it.
You know why American Pharoah won the Triple Crown last year?
Because he's a really fast horse and better than all the other ones?
No, it was climate change. You were Santa Anita on Saturday or Sunday, right? It rained the whole day. Climate change, my friend, climate change.
How else will climate change affect horse racing?
The Sunland Park outbreak? That's climate change. Dortmund not entering races he's supposed to? Climate change. And that weird Portland Meadows pick six thing?
Let me guess, climate change.
Climate change.
Well, Senator, I greatly thank you for your time. I know you're very busy on the campaign. I wish you all the best of luck this year.
Thank you, Jason, and I hope that you feel the burn.
All right, so there he was, Senator Bernie Sanders, talking some horse racing here on the Bet America Radio Network. See, that's why you come to the barn. We get, I just thought of something. The barn just had the burn. So a lot of fun. Thank you so much, Senator Sanders. I mean, I know with the New Hampshire coming up, he's very busy, so really appreciate his time. We're going to head out to a short timeout. When we come back, more coming up here on the Bet America Radio Network.
This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn with Jason Beam.
All right, so my thanks to Senator Bernie Sanders for joining us here in the barn, the Bet America Radio Network. Certainly with the Iowa caucus just happening in New Hampshire coming up, he's obviously very busy. So it was very interesting to hear his takes on horse racing and where the sport's going and what his campaign and administration will do about it. You know, hopefully we'll be able to get, obviously, Senator Hillary Clinton on the show and definitely want some of the Republican candidates as well, because I think it's important for racing fans to know where candidates on both sides of the issue stand when it comes to horse racing. So our producers are working the phones. We're trying to get the candidates in, but it's very tough. They're very busy, and obviously a lot of more traditional media requests for each of the candidates. So, but we'll certainly. Certainly try to bring that to you going forward. Marty McGee will be joining us here in just a few minutes. But first wanted to play a song parody. I've been concerned about Dortmund. And, he works out. He doesn't race. He works out. He doesn't race. And it's a little concerning as a fan of his. I think he's a very cool horse. And I was thinking about him a lot yesterday, and when I wrote this next song parody, because I want to know what's going on with him. So to the tune of the fantastic Dion song, Abraham, Martin, and John, here is Dortmund.
Is anybody here I've seen my old friend Dortmund. Can you tell me where he's gone? I see he's working out, but Bob's never happy with them. I just checked the entries and his name is gone. Anybody here seen my old friend Dortmund? He hasn't run since the native diver. He works out every week, but apparently he has some foot props. I just checked the entries and his name is gone. Does anybody here seen my old friend Dortmund? Can you tell me when he'll run? He was supposed to go to the Clark Handicap, but Bob chickened out and went to the Big Bear instead.
This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn with Jason Beam.
All right, welcome back into the barn, the Bet America Radio Network, and we are pleased to go out to a beautiful, at least I'm assuming, Louisville, Kentucky, and welcome in Marty McGee. Marty, how are you?
I'm in Hollandale Beach, Florida.
Oh, man, see, I thought you did it remotely for the Gulfstream meet.
I do sometimes, but here's the clue. When the actual dateline of Hollandale Beach, Florida is on my stories, I'm actually there.
Oh, okay.
So I've been coming here 20 years now, Jason, for various lengths. It used to come for pretty much the whole meet. When they always, people have forgotten about this. They always start on January 3rd, even if it was a Tuesday. Start on January 3rd. It goes back to the old Highly a date fight. Weren't you a caller down here for a while?
No, I never made it. I've actually never been to the state of Florida.
Wow.
Miramati was at Hialeah.
That's right.
We're often confused because we're both handsome, large guys.
And Pete, too. Pete,
yeah, exactly.
He was at it. Yeah. So, last year I was here for about 8 or 9 weeks and went over to Tampa. We got somebody else covering Tampa now, so I'm just going to be down here till the 23rd of February, actually, and go back home. And then I'll do it remote from up there because, there's so much going, as you well know, there's so much going on down here in Florida with Mike Welch, who also actually clocks horses in the mornings. He's busy like 24/7, so we need somebody else to help him out. And so years ago, I was the second guy here, but Jay Priven comes in on occasion. Dave Grinning will actually come in for the Florida Derby on April the 2nd. He'll come in that prior week. So we kind of chopped up good. I've got two daughters back at home. Actually, one's in college at Western Kentucky, and the other one's a senior in high school. But, I don't like to be away from home too long if I can help it.
Is it tougher doing it remotely? I mean, just as far as digging up stories and getting connections, or can you kind of do it from anywhere now?
You can kind of do it from anywhere, but you'd be amazed. I've always said this. I've been doing this 30 years now. If you just show up, you'd be just astounded at all the information you can pick up. People just come up and talk to you about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the true benefit. Aside from actually, being there, it's just legitimizes it more. I always tell my bosses I feel like we're lame. That's always the word I use, lame, when we do it remotely. But sometimes it's just the necessity of the situation. And you can pick up 90% of what you need on your computer or television or whatever else anymore. I actually have sat in the Simul Torture Center, as I call it, over in Clarksville, Indiana, right across the bridge from me at one of the Indiana Downs OTBs, one of my haunts, and sat there and done full cars like from Tampa or Fairgrounds helping out, stuff like that. So it's not quite the same, and you'd much prefer for people to be here. We always have Mike here, Mike Wells.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, one of us are usually down here to help him out.
Marty McGee joining us from the Daily Racing Form. You can find his work at DRF.com or in the hard copy of the form. Now, Marty, before we talk about Gulfstream, I haven't talked to you since the Beamy Awards, and you were obviously a big winner that night. How has your life changed since winning a Beamy?
I love it. Well, that's one of my favorite tweets I've ever put. You know, I've got 7,854 tweets. That's got to be in my top five favorite tweets the one that I posted that you've remarked on a time or two since then is, when does your Twitter feed blow up way more? When you win the Eclipse Award or when you win a Beamy Award? And I said the funner one. And I know that funner's not a word, but that's just kind of my way of saying, hell with it, it's funner. So, yeah, it's been great.
Dude, has anybody commented on your hair in person, or am I delusional to think anybody actually pays attention to that whole thing?
I swear to God, on Saturday after the Holy Bowl steak, some mutual teller, her name is Linda, she goes, I'm not making this up, she goes, congratulations on your Beamy Award, you really deserved it. And I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me, all right, that's great. So I had to ask her name and everything. She goes, yeah, you really deserve it. I'm like, thank you very much, Linda.
I actually had a guy, I was at the NHC this past week, and I had this guy who I'd never seen before, and he's, you know, he was an older guy, probably 70 years old, and, you know, kind of a New York wise guy type, and I'm sitting there, and he goes, hey, are you the Beamy Awards guy? And I go, yeah, and he goes, eh, they were kind of funny.
My favorite part was the, where you set the music to the Requiem, like, you know, we lost these Steve Askew's in there and some of the other really. And your job.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It's so tongue-in-cheek. It's so great. Please. Yeah. I mean, have we set the date yet?
I think I'm going to stick with probably the first Friday in December. That's been the tradition so far. It was funny. My mom asked. She goes, why would you do it on a Friday night? Isn't everybody out and about? I said, you don't know horse players, Mom. I said, this is stay-in and handicap night.
Yeah, we're all shut in.
Yeah, yeah. So I try to do it on a weekend there where there's not a ton of stuff going on the Saturday, but there's enough. But, Marty, speaking of Saturdays, there was a big Saturday last weekend at Gulfstream and a couple of big performances by, you know, newly turned three-year-old fillies and colts. And I was sitting in the NHC room when Catherine Sophia did her thing, and there was a pretty strong buzz. What did you think about her performance?
You're talking about the John Service film?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, oh, man. What, you know, the bad thing is we haven't seen her run A, long, or B, against really good horses yet. So I know that John, who has been on the big stage before, was really excited after the race. And he's very confident she's going to be able to get a distance. We're going to be able to see here on February 27th when she runs back in the Devona Dale on a flat mile. But you would have to think that she is one of the top, if not top five, she's definitely in the top 10 in consideration for the Kentucky Oaks. They'll have Churchill Downs will have that pool out in early March, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just really exciting to see a horse. Everybody really likes Johnny. He's such a good guy and, you know, did such a great job with Smarty Jones. And I think it's really exciting to see him have a filly like this.
Now, I can't remember. Is she owned by the Chapman Group? Like, I, for some reason, I wanted to think that they had a horse, and I can't remember if Mr. and Mrs. Chapman. I know Mr. Chapman's not around anymore, but somebody was telling me he thought it was the similar owners or somehow related to them, but I wasn't sure.
Well, it's actually a Philadelphia group, but as you remember, Smarty Jones was 04 and Fleet Alex was 05, and they were owned by Cash's King.
Uh-huh.
And Fleet Alex was trained by Tim Ritchie. Well, Cash's King is now using Service.
Oh, gotcha.
So John does have horses still for Sunday Farm, which was the nom de course of Chapman. But Cash, and they were really excited too. You know, they had couple dozen people there just giddy in. Because I asked John, I said, are you going to let them talk about the Kentucky Oath? Got a kid, and he goes, they can talk about whatever they want.
Yeah, I saw him in the interview after the race on the Gulfstream feed. You could tell he had a little bit of swagger going. He knew what he had.
Yeah.
And the other big run that day obviously was Mo Hayman in the Holy Bull. And is his plan to stay in Florida and prep down there?
Yeah, I mean, as a matter of fact, the Shadwell people are having to work out another route to the Derby for Chagop. Yeah, an exciting Bernardini 3-year-old who won an allowance here the previous day. He's now 2-for-2 for Chad Brown. They're probably going to go to the Gotham and the Wood with him because Kieran McLaughlin very much prefers to stay here with Mo Hayman, who really shot to the top of a lot of people's Kentucky Derby lists because of the way he just really dug down. You could just see him with his ears pinned and laying it down in a really efficient looking stride, the way he just outran a Greenpoint Crusader from like the half mile pole to the eighth pole. He's pretty much eased up the last 70 to 100 yards by Junior Alvarado. So I know that Kieran's really, he's been around some great horses, obviously, Invasor, some nice 3-year-olds. So he's really excited about him, and I would be very surprised if when the horses come from out of here in early April in Florida and go to Kentucky, if he's not the leading contender for the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, and I think with, you know, the success that the Florida horses have had over the years, I think they certainly, at least in my view, I always give them a little bit of an extra look. It just seems like they tend to do well up in Louisville when it comes time for the big day. Marty, coming up this Saturday, the Don Handicap. Keen Ice, kind of the only real name in the Don this year, at least in terms of, maybe national name recognition. Certainly Valid and Mishawish and Mexicoma coming off that nice win. What do you make of this year's Don?
Well, we've got some speed in there now. It was questionable whether or not a horse named Valid, who's number 4 in a field of 8, was actually going to run. They considered the Hoover for him on the undercard, but he's going to go ahead and run. That gives the race some pace. And if you go back and watch Keen Ice's, many of his efforts last year as a 3-year-old, he really is a true mile and a quarter horse. And that's why Donegal and Dale Romans are saying, look, our main goal early this year is the Dubai World Cup, is on March 26th. Mm-hmm. And this race, the Don, serves as his only prep for that. So you have to question whether or not the distance, especially at a notoriously speed-favoring track like Gulfstream seems to be, will favor the running style of Keen Ice. So I would have to think he's a bet against. Pletcher's throwing 3 horses up against him, throwing stuff up against the wall, Made from Lucky. He's got Mishawish. And he's also got It's a Knockout. They're all similarly capable, you would think. Probably all of them maybe in the 5 to 6 to 1 range. And Chad Brown's got a nice horse in Financial Modeling who's actually my pick in the race. So it's a very interesting renewal. You know, in years past, we've had I was even down here for the Cigar back in the 96 running. And just always it is the first grade 1 handicap of the year, so it's always kind of like Daytona of the handicap right.
Yeah, it seems like with the Dubai World Cup now, the handicap division sometimes just takes till the second half of the year to really get going, at least it feels like.
Yeah, because the big cap is too close to it.
Yeah.
And you got like the San Antonio and hell, even California Crows out there already in Dubai getting ready for it. Uh-huh. So I think maybe the Eastern ranks are a little bit thin, except for Keen Ice. But, again, Dale is really insistent, and it's pretty evident in his races that he needs a little bit more ground, you would think, than this mile and an eighth. But, of course, the Breeders' Cup is the mile and a quarter, so there's really only 2 races on his agenda this year among the big events, and that's Dubai and then the Breeders' Cup at San Antonio.
Yeah, I think that Dubai, the stretch and everything will kind of suit his, he does seem like kind of a grinder, that horse.
Oh, if you really go back and watch close the Clark Handicap, which they were kind of on the fence whether or not to run. I remember Jerry Crawford calling me a few days before the race. Should we run? I don't know. They decided to run, and he was like 4th. With about a 16th of a mile to go, he's like running in place, and then all of a sudden he starts closing like a banshee. And, like, he only gets beat, I think, less than a length of the win by three other horses. And as they're galloping out, I swear, about 10 yards past the finish, he's passed everybody. So he really can motor later. Well, hell, he's the only horse that ever beat American Pharoah. So you know how he can really kick it.
Marty McGee joining us from the DRF. The other great one on Saturday is the Gulfstream Park Turf Handicap, and it sees the return of the very popular The Pizza Man, who's making his Gulfstream Park debut. You know, I know a lot of horses, we talk about horses that, you know, run on the dirt. And some horses love the dirt at Gulfstream. Some horses don't. Is the turf course as particular like that, or can horses pretty much transfer there from anywhere?
Well, I don't know if he's really a layover in here. He's probably going to be about 4 to 5, and I think part of the reason you might be deserving to have some skepticism about it is it is a little bit quirky. And it's not like Woodbine or Belmont or Arlington where the turns are really sweeping and all that. It's kind of tighter. I mean, it's not a Pimlico type, but, you know, it's like you know, coming off a layoff and everything else that's involved, I guess there's some speed in here because Ramsey's, I actually called Mr. Ramsey this morning and asked him, what are your tactics with Shining Copper since he has perennially done the rabbit or Big Blue Kitten? He says, well, we're going to try and win this race. So instead of him having some absurd lead down the backside, I guess that Rosario is going to go ahead and rate him. But there will be some speed in here. I would think that plays into the tactics of the Pizza Man who gets Javier Castellano for the first time. And, you know, but again, Jason, 4 to 5, I don't know about that. I think when I step up to the window for this race, I'll probably be playing against him. I'm a fan of his, but you know, this is the first step in what obviously is a long road toward a return of the Breeders' Cup for him, hopefully, later this year.
Yeah, he's a cool horse, and we've seen over the years that cool horses and horses with name recognition, they always take a little bit more money than they should, even if they're, like you said, he's a deserving favorite.
Yeah, he is. Dick Girardi has an acronym for it. I can't think of what it is offhand, but he's actually named that phenomenon what you're talking about, the public, you know, recognizable names, I think. To get over
that. Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite angles used to be in those, you know, those kind of late summer, midsummer derbies, just betting against horses that were up the track in the derby, but because people knew them from the Triple Crown Trail, and they were, you know, the name that the track was using to promote the race, and it seems like, you know, they just always get overbet in situations like that. Well, Marty, I really appreciate your time, and folks can, of course, check out your work at DRF.com, and we'll catch up with you soon, my friend.
Call me when I get back to Kentucky, and we'll do something again.
You got it. Marty McGee from the Daily Race Forum joining us. We'll be right back after this short time out here in the barn.
Hey, I'm Chantel Sutherland Cruz, and want to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It's the coolest place to bet on horse racing on over 200 racetracks from America and around the world. New players receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit, up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the Bet America way.
All right, so my thanks to Marty McGee for joining us. Also, my thanks to, of course, Senator Bernie Sanders for joining us. Busy show. I hope everybody enjoyed the new Dortmund song parody and all the other information that we had this afternoon. Again, tomorrow we're going to be talking about Santa Anita's big card coming up. Scott Schapper going to join us for that to talk about the Santa Anita races. Also, the debut of the Bet America jury. We'll be having court on the barn or in the barn tomorrow. So that's it for today, though. My thanks to Marty McGee, Senator Sanders, for joining us, and we'll catch up with you guys tomorrow. Don't forget, you can email the show, barn@betamerica.com, barn@betamerica.com. You can find me on Twitter, at Jason Beam. Oh, no, I'm not at Jason Beam. That's my old account. At Beamie Awards, BEEMIEAWARDS. Or, of course, check us out at BetAmerica. So, from all of us in the barn, I'm Jason Beam. I'm bidding you a very pleasant Thursday, and we'll catch up to you guys tomorrow. Everybody have a great day.